Readings from Hebrews 12, 1 to 29. Quite a long passage, so you'll have to endure, and that will come to light later on. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggles against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Endure hardship is discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance right of the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit his blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him, who warned them on earth? How much less will we, if we turn away from him who warns us here from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words, once more, indicate the removing of what can be shaken. That is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. What a powerful portion of scripture. What a picture that paints. Before I come to the word that the Lord's laid in my heart, let's just come to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will give me the courage and the strength to deliver your word with your authority. Lord, make it clear what you have to say to each of us this morning. Lord, help us to take on board what you have to say and to make the right decision, to make the changes, whatever changes you're directing us that we need to make, Lord. You are, after all, our shepherd, the one who guides his flock. Lord, bless us this morning as we seek to bless you, for we ask it in the name of your precious Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name is the name above all names. Amen. After that long piece of scripture you sat so patiently and listened to, the title of this morning's message is Endurance. Surprise, surprise. Now, endurance, it's a word which we can apply to lots of things. We can put it to the television that we've got. Some of them endure forever. Others break down. We don't know what their endurance is like. And people can be just like that as well. They can get tired and give up. Endurance applies equally to our physical and our spiritual well-being. I'm going to deal first with the physical well-being. It covers different disciplines, and it points out the things that we might consider most important to each of us individually. What I mean is, if it's something or someone that we really like and we want to get involved with, we are more likely to put up with a lot of things and endure the suffering, the pain, the exercise, the strengthening that you need to get in order to do what you want. But it's only if you really, really care about the subject or the person that you're going to succeed. Our level of endurance will make things better. It'll improve our relationship with the person that we love. It'll improve our performance at whatever our desire is. If it's to play the flute, become a good flautist. But, you know, it doesn't matter what they want to do. It's important to note and to realize, however, that physical endurance is important for our personal development. Ever since you were born, when you were a baby, for instance, we've got one little lad here with us this morning who's just learned how to find, he's found his feet and he can walk. But how many of us crawled around for months? Boys normally are slower to walk than girls. I don't know why. When you think of the number of times, you probably won't even remember the number of times because it's just gone. You've grown up out of that system. But if you asked young, he'll tell you how many times he stumbled, because he'll remember it more. He may not be able to tell you because I don't know where he's got his voice yet or not. But he could explain it to you if he could. But we have tumbled along the way, and I dare say If we hadn't got up and tried again, we would still be crawling around on our hands and knees, wouldn't we? So it's important when it comes to the physical side of things. We've got to endure lots of things. But you know, when you see a young child finding its feet for the first time, I'm sure like me, it brings a smile to your face. Especially when they're just starting and they're a wee bit ungainly and a bit as if they've had a couple of pints of beer, you know, but not quite, without the alcohol. You know, but it is one of the best things that I've seen. And the one thing that I enjoy most is seeing children finding their feet. Not just in the physical, but we've got to remember, as they become more mobile, they also become more inquisitive. And without the proper direction and the correct parenting, they can get into all sorts of mischief and danger to themselves. You know, I know when our girls started to find their feet, I used to tie up the handles on the cupboard doors that were within reach of them so they couldn't get in there. But Linda had a better idea. She taught them not to touch things that they weren't allowed to. And ever since that, we've never had any problem with them. You know, but it's clear that we all need discipline for whatever reason to keep us safe and secure. But, you know, discipline. Have you ever wondered why it is that people in this world today do not like that word, discipline? Could it be because they consider it as punishment for punishment's sake? And they forget about the love that is needed to administer discipline correctly. As we can read from Proverbs 3:11-12, which reads, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in." Wow. Now that makes it clear to me that discipline is correction out of love. It's to protect and not to harm, as we've already said. In the physical realm, I would suggest that anything we enjoy, that we would want to improve it, wouldn't we? We don't want to remain the same. We'd still be crawling around. But to improve at anything, it requires dedication and endurance or perseverance. There's loads of things that cover endurance, perseverance, stubbornness even. You could say stubbornness can be enduring. Some people are born stubborn. But you've got to endure if you want to achieve your goal. It's a fact that we are all born with certain gifts and talents, maybe for sport, music, like some here, maybe for academics, not speaking to me. But unless those individuals put the practice in, put the work in, and apply their perseverance and endurance, their gifts are very unlikely to grow to their full potential. Spiritual endurance, on the other hand, is important, especially if you know and have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then it's important to understand, as we can read in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." Wow. Yes, you see, when you come to Christ, you're born again. Back to the crawling stage. Yeah, back to the learning stage. Because nobody, I don't care who it is, finds it easy when they first give their heart to the Lord. We all stumble and we fall. But you've got to have the determination to get back up on your feet. Keep your eyes fixed firmly on Jesus and keep walking, putting one foot in front of the other. And you know, it won't be easy. That's why determination and perseverance is required. When you're born again, as well as having to learn things, you do get spiritual gifts. The Lord will give you gifts which will help you to grow. But again, these gifts need to be worked upon, used to develop them to the full potential. As we can read in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 to 31. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Do all eagerly desire the greater gifts? Wow. From that part of Scripture, I think it makes it quite clear to me, and it's important that we realize that God does not create clones. What I mean by that is that He has given each of us gifts or talents that we need to nurture and use to glorify Him. Not to glorify us, to glorify Him. And to do that, it also will require our dedication, our spiritual endurance, if we are to grow into the person that He wants us to be. And He has got plans to prosper us, as we've read from my old friend Jeremiah. I'll not give you it all again, you know it off by heart by now. You know, it's important, though, from that part of Scripture also points out that no one has all the gifts. That's why it's important that we realize that, especially in this fellowship, we are a team. We need each other. And we've got to be determined to love and appreciate each other. God does not require a one-man band. And that's why we need to love each other and to help each other as we strive to fulfill His great commission in this place. If we try to do things in our own strength, well, we'll never succeed. We'll be like someone who needs crutches, and you take the crutches away. We have nothing to lean on. And without the Lord, we have got nothing substantial to lean upon. We need God's hand upon our endeavor if we're to succeed in His commission. It's hard, as I said. But you know, the Lord gave His disciples, and if you love the Lord, you're His disciple. So this applies to you, as well as it did to His disciples. It's from Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, so when you find things hard, there's only one place to turn to for help, and that is the prayer throne of the Heavenly Father, which you're entitled to go under the coverings of Jesus' righteousness. Because we all know that we haven't got any righteousness of our own. We are all sinners, saved by grace. And you know, that's a blessing, and it's a comfort to me, because each time I fall down, I pray, I repent, and get up again. But I always remember that the Lord knows that I'm a sinner, but he loves me anyway, in spite of my sins. You know, he is a loving Heavenly Father, and there is no one more deserving of our devotion, our endurance, our love and respect. You know, that passage from Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for my souls." That's the best advice anyone could accept. And if as yet you have not accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life, I pray that you will give it serious consideration. Just like Donnie, as she goes through the Alpha course, you know, I hope that she gives it serious consideration and just doesn't take the words of, "Oh, it's a nice course, I enjoyed the course, yeah, it's good," and then put it in the back burner. I hope it's fruitful. You know, John 14:6, and I'm going to close with this one. 14 verse 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." There is no other way into heaven than accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't as yet, I trust that you'll pray about it and that you'll look into it and consider it strongly. Advise it, because there is only two choices: heaven or hell. People don't like that word. I wonder why. I don't like that word. That's why I love the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son into this world as a child who grew up learning to walk, stumbling, tittering, being faced with temptations like us, but unlike him, Lord, who is willing and able to resist those temptations, we were weak and sinners, only saved by grace, the grace provided by your special gift of your Son, who willingly went to the cross and shed his blood to cover all of our guilt, all of our sin, and all of our shame. And all we've got to do is to accept him as our Lord and Savior. Lord, I can't understand why you wanted to do that for me. But Lord, I'm glad you did. But your word tells us you didn't just do it for me. You've done it for the whole world. And you've done it for people who don't even accept you now. But your love and your gift is still available to everyone, anyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. And Lord, I just thank you for that promise. And Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to be with us, build up our endurance, make us durable, and just give us the will and the purpose to carry on with your great commission in this place and throughout the world by your mighty power. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.